guys. Welcome to Bible study. Have you guys all recovered from spring break? Anybody in here actually have a spring break? No, because all moms of kids that had spring breaks know they need a vacation from their vacation. But I love every Wednesday that I get to teach y'all. It is a gift. So thanks for being here, and I'm so glad to have you. So today, I want to welcome you guys to this week's installment of the very dramatic and epic tale of the Acts of the Apostles. And I told y'all last week, when I was teaching, that I think Acts is a legit action-packed, on-the-edge-of-your-seat drama. And as I studied for today, I have come to the very spiritual conclusion, get ready for this, that I think Paul is the Jack Bauer of the Bible. Okay? So if you have ever watched 24, raise your hand, then you understand this illustration well. If you haven't, then I encourage you to clear your schedule completely and binge watch every season of this crazy, crazy drama. If you are married, your husband will say thank you, and you will pretend not to like it. But I promise you will be secretly hooked, and you can thank me later. So stay with me here, though. Paul, Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer is this fearless counter-terrorist agent that in every single episode, he willingly puts himself in the most dangerous situations in order to ensure freedom for the people of this country. Okay, almost every time, his friends and coworkers say, "No, Jack, don't go. You'll never survive. You'll never be able to do it." And he says, "I'm going." And he goes every single time. Okay, because Jack Bauer is this rogue, crazy, fearless, passionate guy, and he willingly enters into these life and death situations for the cause of freedom. He chose to suffer for a cause so much bigger than himself over and over again. So that is just like Paul here in Acts. So last week, we saw, Sue taught y'all about how Paul's friends pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. Do y'all remember that? Get the context. Okay. And Paul, being the fearless dude that he is, says in chapter 21 that he is ready. He's ready to go and be bound. He says, "Oh, I can be a prisoner. I'll be a slave. I'm even ready to die for the name of Christ." Man, he wanted desperately to bring freedom to his Jewish brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Okay? His decision, by any worldly standards, did not make sense. But I am certain that Paul's faith was so much bigger than his fear. His faith was so much bigger than his fear. He knew it was going to be hard. From the day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, God told Paul, "You will suffer for my name." See, Paul knew what his journey would entail, and he willingly chose to suffer for a cause so much bigger than himself, for freedom, for his Jewish and Gentile friends. So where we are in Acts marks the end of Paul's missionary journeys. Okay, it has been 27 years since Christ died and resurrected and set the church on mission. I was like, it's been 27 years? Like, we're on chapter 20. Okay, 27 years since Christ died. So the remainder of Acts is no longer about Paul the missionary in the traditional sense of missionary. But now it's Paul the prisoner. Okay, this is one of those holy hinges that Sue taught us about weeks ago. When we see the scriptures take a turn, and y'all, as powerful as God was through Paul in his freedom, we're going to see how powerful God is through Paul in his imprisonment. So my title for today's talk, y'all know how I love titles, is called The Mindset of Ministry. Y'all, there is so much for us to glean from this section of scripture. I'm so excited about it. By looking at Paul in Acts 21 through 23, we are going to look at how the mindset of ministry played out in Paul's life and what it can look like in ours. So we are going to see that, and these will be on future slides, so don't feel like you got to write it all down. One, the mindset of ministry is to become all things to all people. The second, the mindset of ministry is to use our problems as a platform. And third, the mindset of ministry is to take courage in Christ. Become all things to all people, problems as our platform, take courage in Christ. That is what we are going to look at today. So once y'all finish writing that down, open up your Bibles to Acts 21. There's a lot of scripture to cover today. But good thing, this is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Everything the Bible says is absolutely true. Okay, as you're opening up to Acts 21, Paul has just arrived in Jerusalem. His Jesus-loving brothers and sisters are so excited he was there. Paul brags on what God has been doing with the Gentiles, and everybody's pumped. Okay, in verse 20, it says that when they, his fellow believers, when they heard this, they praised God. I hope we are all like that. That we celebrate when we hear about God working in other people's lives. I think that the church should be known for its parties, because I know that heaven is. One of my closest friends went to Haiti last week, and she's a nurse. And so as a nurse, she was the hands and feet of Jesus. She told people about Jesus, and then she loved them like Jesus. And when she came back, we couldn't wait to hear her brag on what God is doing in Haiti and what how he used her that week while she was there. Y'all, if you are a follower of Jesus, you should become a pro at bragging on God. Okay? Maybe you're like, I don't even know how to brag on God or what that looks like. So here's my instructions. I want you to get a safe friend. And I want you to set a time limit, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. And for that time, all you can do is talk about how you see God working in your life and the lives of others. You can't talk about anything else. Your whole focus is to brag on God. I promise that once you open up your eyes to see what God is doing, bragging on him will be your favorite thing to do. And when others brag on God to you, be encouraged. Celebrate with them. Y'all, it is bragging on God and celebrating him that gives me hope in this dark world. Those are the things that I hold on to. So I want you to try it. All right, but back to Acts 21. Paul was a professional bragger on God. I don't know if that's a word, but it is in my dictionary. Okay. He was a professional bragger on God. After they celebrate, though, Paul's fellow believers say, we got to get down to business. There were some serious issues going on with the Jewish people. It said that thousands of Jews had come to believe in and trust in the risen Christ. Okay, that's awesome. Thousands of them. But there were some nasty rumors going around. I hate me some rumors. And Paul was telling them that they had to turn away from the law of Moses. Okay, so essentially, the rumor was that since they followed Christ, they couldn't follow their Jewish culture anymore. And these baby believers couldn't understand that at all. Maybe they weren't Jews by religion anymore, but they were still Jews by race and culture. And I totally get that. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you change, but your world doesn't. It takes time for you to learn and understand God's truth and for the things of this world to fade away in light of the eternal glory you now see. But there was a great truth that Paul was teaching. He was teaching that the law of Moses, getting circumcised, doing the ceremonies, y'all, was not wrong. He was teaching it was just not necessary for salvation. There's a big difference in that. He wasn't teaching that it was wrong. He was teaching that it wasn't necessary for salvation. Because y'all, go back, Acts 15, Council of Jerusalem, they had declared faith in Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. All right. But the enemy loves to distort the truth. And that's what he does here. And it causes the Jewish people to get all sorts of upset. So the church in Jerusalem, they advise Paul to join in on a Jewish purification ceremony. That's really where our scripture picks up today. We're going to read verses 22 through 24 in Acts 21. This is the church, the believers of Jerusalem, Paul's brothers that are speaking into him. Here we go. Verse 22. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come, so do what we tell you, Paul. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. Okay, so what's happening here? Most people probably read that part of scripture and was like, I don't really know what's going on. Let's move forward. But there's something awesome to learn here. So what is happening? Paul partakes in a Jewish purification ceremony, okay, so that he can build relational equity with the Jewish people, so he can earn the right to be heard. Okay, this purification ceremony, some theologians, commentators believe that this was the Nazarite vow, okay, which was a completely voluntary vow that could be taken by men or women. That was a Jewish person pledging their allegiance to God alone. They were saying, essentially, I'm all in. Okay, completely voluntary. Okay, if you want to learn more about this vow, look in Numbers 6, 1 through 21. It gives it in great detail. Okay, so the hope was that if the Jewish people see that Paul obeys the law, then hopefully they won't believe those nasty rumors about him. And they'll actually listen to the truth that he's trying to tell them. Okay, now it's really important, friends, to note that Paul did not compromise on the truth. Okay, because the Jews did not regard this purification ceremony as essential for acceptance by God. Okay, in simpler words, Paul did not compromise the gospel, okay, to be on the same level as the Jewish people. That is super important. This is just like how Paul had Timothy circumcised in Acts 16, okay, so he could minister to the Jews. Okay, but I love this section because it gives us a clear illustration of the mindset of ministry. The lengths that Paul went to so that he could share the gospel. And there is a key section of scripture where Paul writes about this to the Corinthian church. And I want us all to turn there. It's in 1 Corinthians 9. So that's two books to the right in your Bible of Acts. And next to 1 Corinthians 9 in my Bible, I have written the mindset of ministry. And we are going to read just verses 22 and 23 in 1 Corinthians 9. But later on, y'all, go back and read the whole chapter because it's so good. All right, starting in verse 22, this is Paul. He's saying, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel so that I may share in its blessings. Y'all, I have become, underline it, all things to all people so by all means I might save some for the sake of the gospel without compromising truth or falling into sin. Huge. Paul would do whatever he could to relate to someone so he could share the truth with them. He wanted to break down any barriers between them so they could clearly hear the good news that Paul desperately wanted to share with them. See, when I was a Young Life leader, we had to memorize this verse as to remind our hearts to do whatever was necessary to build that relational equity, to break down the barriers with our high school friends so that we could share the truth with them. I know this might come as a shock to you, but I'm actually not a big fan of The Bachelor. I know. Okay, but my high school friends were obsessed with it. So what that meant is every Monday before Young Life Club, I would read up about what was going on in The Bachelor, okay? Call me a fake. I don't know, because I wasn't really a fan, but I wanted to have conversations with them, get on their level, make myself relatable so that when I talked about Jesus, they would listen without compromising truth or falling into sin. I would do whatever I could to get into their world. So my sweet husband, Matt, he really sets the bar high on this, right? His heart is all things for all people to know Christ. So as a kid, I mean, this was so just deeply wound in him that he learned Spanish as a little kid so that he could speak to his soccer playing friends so he could invite them to church as a kid. But as a daddy, Matt has become a student of American Girl dolls. I'm not kidding. So he can relate to our McKinley. He knows all about Mary Ellen Larkin and Samantha and the Welly Wishers. Okay, he has learned all about them so that he can get on the same level as our six-year-old. See, she talks to him about American Girl dolls, and he listens. So that when he talks to her about Jesus, she listens. The mindset of ministry, become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. So I want you to ask yourself, to what lengths am I willing to go for someone to know Christ? What can I do to become all things to all people so that I can share Jesus with them? If you have a Jewish friend, in great love and so much care, learn about the Jewish religion so that you can talk with them about it. If you have a neighbor from the Middle East, learn about their culture so you can build a relationship with them. If you have a teenage son or daughter, which I know is like having a foreign alien living in your house, become a pro at whatever they love. It doesn't matter if you don't love it too. Become a pro at it. Go to great lengths to build a relationship with others so you can share truth with them. Listen to them. So that when you talk about Jesus, they will listen to you. Just think about the lengths that Jesus went to build a relationship with you. The mindset of ministry. Let's become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. So as we move on in Acts 21 and into 22, we are going to look at how the mindset of ministry is to use problems as our platform. See, after Paul goes to great lengths to relate to his Jewish people and to try to put an end to those untrue rumors, he is arrested. So clearly his plan did not work out, and he's falsely accused of bringing a Gentile into the sacred Jewish temple area. Okay? They beat him in hopes of killing him. People are getting fired up, and they're shouting, "Away with him! Away with him!" Y'all, does this remind you of anything? Of anybody that was falsely accused and was beaten and mocked, and people are saying, "Crucify him." Jesus. There's a strong parallel here. It says in verse 35 that the violence of the mob was so great that the Roman soldiers had to carry Paul to the barracks. So imagine the soldiers are carrying him because the people are going so crazy because they want to kill him that much. Paul is in chains. Paul is a prisoner. He has got some serious problems. But as I read through this section of scripture, I get the feeling that Paul wasn't focused on his problems at all. He used his chains to preach about freedom. So he asked the commander if he can ask him something. And once the commander understands that he's a Jew and not an Egyptian terrorist, he gives him permission to speak to the people. Okay, y'all, Paul wanted to talk to the people that wanted to kill him. So I was thinking, if that was me and I was getting to talk to the people that wanted to kill me, I think I would have said whatever I could to prove myself innocent. Like, "I love the Jews. I'm a Jew. I would never bring a Gentile into the temple area. Don't arrest me. Don't hate me. I'm innocent. Don't kill me." That would have been what I would have thought to say. But as chapter 22 starts, it says that Paul had something totally different to say. in the beginning of chapter 22, it says that Paul spoke to them in Aramaic. Why is that important? That is the Hebrew dialect. Okay? He spoke to them in a language they could understand. He spoke to them in their language. Okay, my little girl's language is American Girl dolls. So Matt's learned to speak to her in that language. Okay, that's what Paul's doing here. He's speaking to them in their language. And then Paul goes on to share his testimony as his defense. Okay, so a testimony, simply put, y'all, is your story for God's glory. Your story for God's glory. An equipped disciple here, or if you are getting baptized at Watermark, they assist you on how to give the cliff notes of your testimony in 3 minutes or less. And that's what we see Paul do here in Acts 22. Your testimony, your story for God's glory, is broken into three parts. Okay? And we see this in Paul. It is your life before Christ, your conversion experience when you trusted in Christ, and your life since you accepted Christ. So it's kind of the before, during, after. Okay, so if y'all remember from first semester, we already studied the conversion of Saul in Acts 9. Y'all remember? We did the cardboard testimonies up here of the leaders. Okay. And I told you guys that this story of Saul to Paul is, next to the resurrection of Christ, my favorite story in the Bible. So I love that we get to be reminded again of God's incredible grace as we hear Paul brag on what God has done in his life through his testimony. Okay, so starting in 22:1, Paul describes who he was before he met Christ. Okay, he was a zealous, highly trained and respected Jew who persecuted, arrested, and killed followers of the way. You guys remember, get it back in your brain, how much he hated Christians. He was the worst of the worst. This is who Saul was before Christ. And then in verse 6, he begins to describe how he met Jesus. On his way to Damascus, a bright light shone from heaven, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Saul met Jesus. And after 3 days of blindness and the help of a man named Ananias, Saul trusts in Christ and is baptized. Awesome. And then in verse 18, Paul begins to share what his life has looked like since he made that decision. God speaks to Saul and says in Acts 22:18, we can read it together. I'm going to read verse 18 and then I'm going to read the end of 21. It says, "Quick," this is God speaking, "leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony about me. Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Okay, see, Saul the murderer was transformed into God's messenger. Murderer into messenger. Saul the persecutor was transformed into Paul the preacher. Persecutor to preacher. Saul the Jewish man was transformed into God's mouthpiece to the Gentiles. Man, that is the power of Christ, sisters. Jesus doesn't just make you different. He makes you new. And then he says, "I want to use you." So what is your story for God's glory? What did your life look like before Christ? When did you trust in Christ? And what does your life look like now? If your story for God's glory doesn't have this exciting life before, life after Christ part, praise God. I pray that my girls' testimony is that they could never remember not loving Jesus and that they have walked faithfully with him their entire lives. Y'all, golly, let's celebrate those testimonies as much as we celebrate the dramatic, life-changing testimonies. Whatever your story is, I pray you will use it for God's glory. Because did you know that your greatest defense on the existence of God is what he has done in you? You want to prove he's real? Share your story. See, Paul used his platform of being a prisoner, his problem, sorry, of being a prisoner as his platform to share his testimony. Our problems as our platform. What a cool perspective. Problems as our platform. What a life-altering way to look at our problems. Do you see problems as obstacles or opportunities? Do you miss the miracles that God is doing because you're so focused on the mess? Do you allow God to use the challenges of your life as the catalyst for change in you and in other people? See, the hardest things, the biggest problems in my life are the very things that when I surrendered them to God, he has given me countless opportunities to brag on him through. See, because it is one thing to tell somebody that God is good all the time and all the time God is good, and we should say that every chance we get. But I felt like it gave me a little more credence, maybe a little more depth, when I could say, man, God is still so good, even when I have cancer. See, my problem, my cancer, became my platform to share my story for God's glory. One of my closest sister friends has been trying to have a biological baby for 7 years. 7 years of every month being disappointed and sad. The heartbreaking struggle of infertility. But in obedience, they followed God into adoption. And they got the blessing of adopting twins 2.5 years ago. And this year, that friend, with a heart so big for adoption and for kids to know that they are loved, she illustrated and co-produced a children's book about God's presence and faithfulness through adoption. See, their problem, their infertility, has become their greatest platform to share their story for God's glory. That is the book. Y'all, it's amazing. Okay, one of my other precious friends, she has a past of many years of sexual abuse, pornography, promiscuity, abandonment. I mean, hearing her past brings me to tears every single time. The problems she faced, the heartache she experienced, is devastatingly heartbreaking. But Jesus rescued my precious friend, and he made her new. And now, y'all, she takes every opportunity to brag on how awesome Jesus is. So from Watermark baptism to our shelter ministry to literally every person who will listen to her, she has allowed God to use her past, her problems, as her platform to share the gospel. That God is good and that he is in the business of redemption. And please know, sweet friends, that I am not minimizing the pain of what you are experiencing by calling it a problem. I know that that pain is so real. But whatever problem you are facing right now, big or small, whether it's anxiety or conflict in your marriage or job loss or financial stress or sickness or grief, do not let your pain be in vain. I know that when you are in the middle of a problem, it is hard. Whatever your chains are, they are not light. I know that. But there is freedom in taking the focus off of ourselves and putting it on Christ. Allow God to use your problems as your platform to brag on him. Your story for his glory. And Paul did this so well. Let's follow his example as he followed Christ. So as we move on into Acts 23, we're going to see Paul show us the mindset of ministry is to take courage in Christ. Our third point for today. The mindset of ministry is to take courage in Christ. At the end of Acts 22, Paul reminds the Roman commander that he's a Roman citizen. So he's brought before the Sanhedrin, okay, and the chief priest to plead his case. And Paul gives this one sentence, tell the truth, don't hold anything back, defense. A statement that we're going to read that took nothing less than complete courage to say. Let's read verse 6 in Acts 23. It says, then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, my brothers, I am a Pharisee descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because, underline this, because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Where did Paul's courage come from? It came from his hope in the resurrection. Okay, the truth that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and that he conquered death and rose from the dead so that if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, you spend eternity with him. Y'all, this is the crux of the Christian faith, hope in the resurrection. This is why I am passionate about this. We should celebrate Easter more than we celebrate any other holiday. Hope in the resurrection. Hope that this life is not all there is. Hope is that the best is yet to come. Hope that glory awaits. Hope in the truth that death comes from life, that from death comes life. Hope in knowing that because Jesus conquered death, there is nothing he can't conquer in our own lives. Hope that even when it's over, it's not over. When I have cancer, it's not over. When I have infertility, it's not over. When I have been sexually abused, it's not over. That is the power of the resurrection. And if we really had our hope in the resurrection, we would live courageously. And yet, so many of us live as though we don't have hope. We live as if these problems that we face have no purpose. And without hope, we live in fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what's next, fear we're not good enough, fear of the darkness. But I love what God speaks over Paul, the prisoner, in verse 11. Let's read it. Acts 23:11 says, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified out about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Hey, I love this visual picture. Y'all, imagine God standing near Paul as he was chained in prison. And it sweetly reminds me that God is near us in our problems and in our pain. He is not distant. He's right there with you. And he speaks over his beloved Paul, take courage. This is not the end. You're going to Rome. Even when it seems like it's over, it's not over. You don't have to fear. Instead, take courage. Do you guys know, it says random fact, in the Bible, how many times it says, do not fear or be not afraid, some variation of that. Y'all know? 365 times. 365 times our Father in heaven reminds us, don't be afraid. That is one for every day of the year. So I don't know what crazy life situation you might be in right now, but I know that God is standing near you and he's saying, take courage, my beloved daughter. This may all be so out of your control, but it's not out of mine. It's not over. Even when it's over, we can have courage in Christ because we have hope in the resurrection. And we can surrender our suffering because of this hope. And I know that it is hard to have hope and courage and a mindset of ministry and use our problems as a platform when life seems like a big, confusing mess. See, we don't have what Sue affectionately calls a God's eye view. Okay, God just gives us one piece at a time. Piece by piece. And each piece that is given to us has rugged and oddly shaped edges. And it's hard to see how these rugged, oddly shaped pieces are going to fit together when we don't know what the final product looks like. But God does. And right now, he's just saying, trust me as I entrust you with piece by piece. Trust me, Paul, as you are beaten and mocked and misunderstood and rejected and imprisoned. You are looking a lot like my son. You are my masterpiece. I am fitting all these pieces together for something marvelous. So hang on. It's like a tapestry. As each thread is woven together, it looks like a big mess. Only the artist knitting a tapestry knows what it will look like when it's all finished. But once you flip a tapestry over, it is beautiful. The thread of God's faithfulness woven through every bit of it. See, I have a tapestry hung in my bedroom to remind me of this truth, that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. I call this the tapestry of my testimony. See, I have hope because I know his puzzle, his tapestry for my life is so much more beautiful than anything I could have ever designed on my own. So as I end our lesson today, I just keep praying. God, like Paul, give me a mindset of ministry so that I can become all things to all people. Help me to use my problems as a platform. I know it's not easy. And help me, Lord, to take courage in you as I put my hope in the resurrection. As you go in your small groups today, open your hearts to each other. Let God work in you and through you as he entrusts you with one piece at a time. Let me pray. Jesus, oh, what an honor it is to know you and to be loved by you and to serve you. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for the tapestry that you are knitting together in all of our lives. And Lord, it's easy to look at the mess and think, I have no idea what is going on here, Lord. And so thank you for the reminder, Lord, that you make all things beautiful. Lord, that you're knitting it all together. And so I pray for my friends in here, Lord, that they will trust you as you entrust them with each little piece, Lord, and that you would give us all a mindset of ministry, that we would brag on you every chance we get. So we love you so much. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.